Stay tuned for one of the most unusual and fascinating hours you'll ever hear. The subject is UFOs. Welcome to the Paranet UFO Continuum, a one-hour program dedicated to a very strange phenomena, unidentified flying objects. Whether or not you believe UFOs exist, the controversy is real, and this program will try to get to the bottom of it. Your host is Michael Corbin, Director of Paranet Information Services, a global communications network based near Denver, Colorado, dedicated to the investigation of UFOs. We invite you to keep an open mind as we discuss one of the most fascinating and strange subjects in the world. Here's your host, Michael Corbin.
Tonight, you're going to hear about one of the strangest parts of the country. You probably haven't heard of this before. It's the San Luis Valley of Southern Colorado. UFOs, cattle mutilations, secret military aircraft, cults, natural abnormalities, you name it, it's going on there. Our guest tonight is going to be Chris O'Brien. He lives there. He's a reporter, and he has done a lot of research in this area, and he's going to bring us up to date on what's taking place down there. But first tonight, I want to welcome back our affiliates, KNRY in Monterey, California, KTMS Santa Barbara, California, WROK in Rockford, Illinois, KBIM in Roswell, New Mexico, and KCRT in Trinidad, Colorado. And those of you that will be listening on tape delay tonight will be KNUS in Denver and KLOV in Loveland, Colorado. Welcome aboard, and we're glad you're along. Before we get on with our guests tonight, we're going to do a couple of news pieces. First of all, this has to do with the Paranet Information Service, the sister organization of this radio program, which is a computer-based information news distribution system. It's international. We've talked about it a little bit before on previous programs. And, of course, we'll devote one show in the upcoming series to the computer network. But for those of you out there that have computers and modems, the Berkeley Group, which produced produced sightings for quite some time for the Fox network, they recently dumped sightings and picked up a program called Encounters. And their pilot program aired about 3 or 4 weeks ago on Fox. Many of you probably have seen it. The Berkeley Group, through one of the producers, Gary Talelian, are now logging onto Paranet, and they are providing a valuable service to the Paranet subscribers. In the very near future, you will be able to converse directly with the Berkeley Group via the computer network, either on Internet or on dial-up modem and calling in as a human caller. And to those who don't have a computer, we'll, like I said, bring you up to speed on that someday in the near future and let you know what all this terminology means. But for those of you who have a computer, once again, the Berkeley Group is the producer of Encounters. It's an upcoming series that's going to be airing on Fox on a weekly basis, is putting an area on the Paranet Information Services computer network which will give our subscribers direct access to them. You can ask them questions. You can discuss the programming. They are also looking for good stories that they can research and perhaps do shows on in the very near future. If you wish to contact them on the Internet side, you can write to the.berkeley.group@paranet.org. And if you'd like to reach Gary Talelian himself, it's gary.talelian@paranet.org. Those two addresses will get you directly to them. And if you're on the FidoNet side, you can write to the Berkeley Group or just to Gary Talelian, and the mail will get there. Okay, moving on. We got a story from our Australian affiliate, Pony Gottich, who is the Director for the UFO Research Association in Australia, provided this news story. It's actually a story reporting on a company in Florida. But just when you think you've heard it all, now you've got this. If you can believe it, there is now abduction insurance. Let's see, the way it's billed is this. Get yourself snaffled by any of this likely-looking lot. And by the way, when they say likely-looking lot, the benefit of radio is that you'll have to close your eyes and imagine this. But the photograph shows a man in a Viking helmet surrounded by people in assorted alien life form masks. And they're talking about if you get abducted by these guys, you could be richer by $10 million. Accountant Mike St. Lawrence of Altamonte Springs, Florida, has started the UFO Abduction and Casualty Insurance Company. For $9.95, you can get a $10 million policy to cover abduction by aliens. And there's double indemnity coverage if the alien refers to you, as a nutritional food source, refuses to practice safe sex, or the encounter results in an offspring being referred to as the missing link. But as with all insurance policies, look out for the small print. You also have to have the signature of an authorized alien before you can collect. You also have to name the alien's point of origin, spacecraft type, and license number. So, there it is. And it's quite a story. Recently, one of the primary researchers, probably second to Bud Hopkins in the abduction research arena, has been Dr. John Mack, a psychiatrist at the Cambridge Hospital, Harvard Medical School, back east. John Mack was actually the character that was portrayed in the film miniseries that aired on CBS, Intruders. John Mack has worked closely with Bud Hopkins over the years on the abduction phenomena, and as what one would might expect coming from a psychiatrist, we should be able to expect that we'd have some kind of quality reporting coming out of this. Recently, Mack has published a book called Abduction, Human Encounters with Aliens. And we are here to tell you that that book has been trashed by virtually every major book reviewer in the country. And I have an article here that came over Paranet. It was published by the Washington Post on April 17th of 94. And people, this makes me just absolutely sick, because this is the kind of thing that we are working so hard to overcome, the image that ufology has in the eyes of the general public. As this writer, Rudy Rucker, says, he is a science fiction writer. He is predisposed to enjoy such things as psychotronic space invader films, crazed saucer cults, and the modern pop myth of UFOs. But with John Mack's abduction book, ufology has reached a vile new low. That is really terrible. Now, the deal is that Mack's book has you know, featured about 20... cases that he worked on, and he is being done by his peers, who claim that he has done very shoddy research and is not becoming at all of a Pulitzer Prize winner or someone who has a medical background. Unfortunately, this kind of thing is doing nothing but giving ufology a black eye, and I'm just hopeful that someday we're going to get our act together and get on with it and get some quality research going and be able to get an idea. April 25th issue of Time magazine has an article in there as well about John Mack, and they talk about a woman name is Donna Bassett, who went to Mack with an abduction story, and of course she was a plant, and she went there, and of course, as you might have predicted, Mack said, yep, you're an abductee, and we're going to have to put you on all this therapy. And so, once again, there it is. Okay, we're going to go to a break, and when we come back from the break, we're going to introduce our guest, Chris O'Brien. Chris is a reporter in Crestone, Colorado, and he is going to talk to us about the mystery in the San Luis Valley. We'll be right back.
The Paranet UFO Continuum, in conjunction with MICAP, the Multinational Investigations Cooperative on Aerial Phenomena, is pleased to offer a portable kit containing everything you need when you come across something unusual in the sky. This kit comes in a sturdy metal box with a lock and contains binoculars, micro cassette recorder, FM walkie-talkies, water-filled compass, 16mm telephoto camera with 1600-speed film, sample bags, notebook, paper and pen, high-intensity flashlight, and official MICAP sighting report forms. The normal price of this complete kit is $289, but for a limited time, you can order it for only $250, plus $10 shipping and handling. To order, call Paranet at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-UFO-NET-1. And ask for the UT-1 kit. Paranet, your window on the universe. with products and services unparalleled in the world today. Again, call 1-800-UFO-NET-1.
This is Fred Hayes. In 1970, I was a lunar module pilot for Apollo 13. During that mission, an onboard explosion caused us to abort our lunar landing. Our safe return home involved many workarounds. It underlined how important the human element is to space exploration. The space station is America's next step in manned space flight. If we're not careful, however, that important program could be canceled. $7 will be returned for every dollar spent on the effort. That's quite an important investment for the future and to provide knowledge essential to the future of spaceship Earth. Some experts say that without the space station, we will have no manned space program. That would be a tragedy for our nation and a retreat from the progressive achievements of the past three decades. For information on how you can support the space station, call 1-800-84-SPACE. That's 1-800-84-SPACE.
Are UFOs for real, or are they just fiction? To find out, stay with us for more of the Paranet UFO Continuum with your host, Michael Corbin.
Well, we're back, and we're ready to introduce our guest tonight. Our guest tonight is Chris O'Brien. He is a reporter in the Crestone, Colorado area, down in the San Luis Valley. Chris has been investigating a whole plethora of unusual activity, and as we mentioned earlier tonight, whatever it is down there, they've got it. UFOs, cattle mutilation, secret military aircraft, cults, natural abnormalities. We even are probably going to talk about the strange sighting that NORAD had with their satellite down in the Monta Vista area, which is down there in the same part of the country. So let's get on with it here. Chris, are you there?
Yeah, hi, Michael.
How you doing?
Very good. Long time no talk to you.
Yeah, I'm glad you could be on with us tonight.
Okay, my pleasure.
Can you start off by telling us, is there anything happening right now or in the last week or two?
Yeah, actually, I got home last night pretty late and had a message on my machine that we had a multiple witness sighting last night at about 10 o'clock Mountain Time. Evidently, witnesses, one of them, a person who's had some experiences in the past here that he couldn't explain in terms of seeing things, but pretty much has been a professed skeptic about UFOs and some of the things that have been going on here. Well, he got an eyeful last night, a very large, silvery, he thought kind of an aluminum color, the way it was shining and the way the lights underneath were shining off it, but he described it as an egg-shaped sphere with a circular pattern of red and green lights underneath it that was over the eastern part of the Boca Grande development, which is right here near Crestone.
Okay.
And he said he got a pretty good look at it. It was there for a couple of minutes, and he was able to get binoculars and take a real good look at it. And his neighbor and his girlfriend also saw it.
Okay.
And, he's a rather elderly gentleman. He's in his mid-80s and is one of our esteemed local historians. He's a believer now.
1-800-UFO-2009 is the toll-free call-in line. 1-800-836-2009. Give us a call and talk to our guest, Chris O'Brien. Chris, go back and give us a little bit of history now about your involvement. I understand you've been doing this for, several years now?
Well, I've been in the area here for 5 years.
Okay.
And I've known about the San Luis Valley for many years because of the incredible wave of activity that took place here in the late 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And also Snippy the Horse, which took place 12 miles from my house, which is considered the first documented case of a unusual animal death, or as they're more popularly known, cattle mutilations, even though this was a horse.
Uh-huh. How did you get involved in this?
Well, I've had some pretty strange sightings in the 5 years that I've been here.
Yourself?
I've always kind of had a feeling that there was something going on here, but it wasn't until we saw a real upsurge in activity in November of 92 that I got involved full-time investigating and researching this very mysterious place.
Now, when you say an upsurge in activity, are you talking about cattle mutilations or?
All sorts of anomalous activity, from landings of saucer craft, Bigfoot sightings, an upsurge and an increase in a continuing wave of cattle mutilations. We did see a marked increase in the fall of 92.
Uh-huh.
And also nightly sightings by many, many people here in the valley. Some so predictable that families were bringing their kids up to vantage points above the valley to watch these lights.
Okay. Chris, we're going to have to go to a break, and when we return, we'll take some calls. You're listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum, and we've got to correct a technical difficulty, so we'll be back shortly. Be right back.
Pilots. When you fly, you need convenient, accurate information for safe flight and landing operations, as well as local businesses that can provide you with the services and treatment you deserve. The Skyway Publications Airport Directory and Entertainment Guides are what you need. These free pocket-sized guides give you information you need about large and small airports all over the country. Information like radio channels, runway systems, coordinates, and taxiways, as well as fuel and aircraft services provided at the airport, along with local businesses catering to private pilots. It's yours free. Ask the fixed base operator at your favorite stops to carry the Skyway Airport Directory and Entertainment Guides, or call Area 303-669-1800. That's 303-669-1800. Skyway Publications, your ticket to safer, cheaper, and more convenient flight. Again, talk to the FBO at your favorite destinations or call Skyway Publications at 303-669-1800.
Get the latest UFO news delivered right to your door with Continuum, the official quarterly publication of Paranet Information Services. Continuum offers a serious look at the world of ufology through hard news reports and interesting and provocative interviews with leading ufologists and investigators. There's a source and resource section to help you locate information on UFOs, plus much, much more. Each issue is also packed with information from the Paranet Information Services International Communications Network. So be informed with this comprehensive publication. Subscribe now and receive 5 issues for the price of 4. Send check or money order for $18 to Continuum, Box 172, Wheat Ridge, Colorado, 80034. That's Continuum, Box 172, Wheat Ridge, Colorado, 80034. Do it now. You're listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum. Whether or not you believe in UFOs, there's a lot about the subject you haven't heard. Stay tuned. Keep an open mind. Call in and join the discussion. Once again, here's your host, Michael Corbin.
1-800-UFO-2009 is our call and talk line. 1-800-836-2009. Our guest tonight is Chris O'Brien. Chris is a reporter for the Crestone, Colorado Eagle. And Chris, let's recap just what's so strange about the San Luis Valley. We had a small little technical glitch, and we got it worked out. And let's just bring everybody up to speed and talk about what is so strange about what's going on down there.
Well, Michael, the place has a real history of unusual and unexplained anomalous events and phenomenon. We've seen an incredible increase in this type of activity, however, since November of 1992, when our current wave of increased activity really began. Of course, the San Luis Valley has quite a esteemed tradition in terms of its place in ufology and in paranormal. This, of course, is the birthplace of the documented unusual animal death, or as it's popularly known, the cattle mutilation.
Uh-huh.
The Snippy the Horse case was quite celebrated around the world, actually, in September of 67.
And you say that's only 12 miles from your house?
Yeah, that's right within sight of where I live.
Uh-huh.
And there's always been whisperings by the locals of strange lights, of ranch houses being spotlit, of cattle being found dead in a very unusual manner. This stuff normally doesn't get talked about around here very much. I've had some incredible sightings myself, which has sort of spurred me along in terms of my interest in what goes on here. But when you have multiple witnesses describe the same events and cattle being discovered that night slain and drained, exanguated of blood, you start to wonder what's going on. So I've taken it upon myself to go ahead and investigate all these occurrences full time. And, boy, I've found out a lot.
Chris, lay out geographically for us now. Kind of paint us a picture of the San Luis Valley. And you mentioned earlier about the Baca Ranch.
Uh-huh.
Kind of just give us a little overlay of the geography there.
Well, if you take a map of Colorado and you go to the very center of the southern border between Colorado and New Mexico, that's the heart of the San Luis Valley. It stretches of almost 200 miles from Taos, New Mexico, in the south, northward over the border to about Salida, Colorado, which is on most maps of Colorado. The valley averages about 50 miles wide and is about 200 miles long. It's the world's largest high-altitude alpine valley, and it's completely ringed by mountains, some of which go up to over 14,000 feet.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very remote area. We don't have a very large population. There's only about 38,000 people in this, 5,000 square mile area, about the size of the state of Rhode Island.
But there's been an awful lot of strange things going on down there.
Yes, I think this is one of the most anomalous areas, I believe, in the country, perhaps one of the most in the world. I think your chances of seeing an unusual object in the sky or finding a dead domesticated farm animal are much, much greater here than practically anywhere else per capita, because we do have such a small population.
Mm-hmm.
And I've personally investigated over 60 sightings, most of them multiple witness sightings of anomalous craft since November of 92.
Mm-hmm. 1-800-UFO-2009, 1-800-836-2009. Give us a call. It's a toll-free line. Talk to our guest, Chris O'Brien. Now, Chris, something else that made national news recently was the occurrence of the large, I guess you could just say a heat source that was detected by the DSP satellite or something and reported through NORAD to the, was it Monta Vista?
Right. Well, the Rio Grande County Sheriff
okay.
on January 12th got a very unusual phone call from Cheyenne Mountain, which is outside of Colorado Springs, where our government monitors all the objects in space.
Mm-hmm.
And they pretty much ride herd on our spy satellites as well, which are dispatched to detect heat blooms from potential missile launches that might be directed at our country.
Mm-hmm.
And on the afternoon of January 12th, the Rio Grande County Sheriff got a call from NORAD saying that they had detected a significant explosion and a resulting heat bloom that put the coordinates of the event south of Monte Vista in the Greeny Mountain area. Now, what's pretty unusual about the call, first of all, is they didn't give the coordinates down to the second. We know that the government is able to pinpoint these things down to about maybe a quarter square mile or half a square mile. And instead of giving them coordinates in degrees, minutes, and seconds, they only gave the sheriff degrees and minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to search about 90 square miles. And there seemed to be some kind of hanky-panky going on in terms of divulging specific information to the county sheriff, which resulted in him, of course, sending out search and rescue and personnel and deputies.
Trying to locate the source.
But when he called back and told him he didn't find anything, they actually tried to steer him in the opposite direction of where the event actually took place.
Now, this sounds almost like an accident or a mistake in them contacting the sheriff at all.
That is my belief and the belief of the sheriff and another writer who broke the story. But that's only the tip of the iceberg, Michael. That was the fourth of nine fireballs that entered the San Luis Valley from November 30th to January 17th. And I have some pretty good evidence on videotape with some real state-of-the-art night vision equipment the night after our first fireball, which would have been the night of December 1st, where I videotaped massive formations of helicopters searching an area here in the valley where our first fireball descended. And our military or our government knew about these fireballs because they were crisscrossing the valley in the area this thing went down for the next three nights at the beginning of December. And then, of course, a January 12th event happens. The phone call gets made to the sheriff, and then, it turns into international news.
Mm-hmm.
But as you know, this is very, very rare for the government to actually call a local official and tell him about something that's later described as a UFO. To have the government report to a county official a fireball or a heat bloom, as they put it, is highly unusual, as we both know.
1-800-836-2009 is our toll-free number. Give us a call. Chris, there was one other thing about that particular case that really interested me, and I believe it was related. Was there not some retired a pilot that saw something up close?
Well, we only have one actual witness of the January 12th fireball, and it was a retired Air Force colonel who is an ex-pilot who observed a large fireball streaking east to west in the direction of the San Luis Valley. He was east of us about 90 miles outside of Florence, Colorado.
And this kind of coincides with the NORAD report, right?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
It's fairly likely that what he observed was what later, NORAD then called in and reported as a significant explosion and heat bloom. The timing of it, he saw it about 3 minutes before the actual event. So he saw it just after 2:50 in the afternoon. The event was logged at about 2:54, I believe. And then the call, interestingly enough, wasn't placed to the county sheriff for another 45 minutes. So we have an interesting time lag there. It sounds like somebody's supervisor might have been out to lunch.
Sounds like another Roswell type.
Exactly.
Fluff
and boy,
up.
When the sheriff wanted to know, 3 days later, why were there so many helicopters in the area, he was told it was confidential, and not to bother himself with asking that type of question. So.
Very brazen, not only making mistakes, but they're very brazen about it, too.
Well, yes, the sheriff did also report to Mark Hunter, who broke the story, and then later to me, upon talking to him, that upon his third call to the FEMA supervisor of the NORAD official who originally logged the call, the guy was belligerent, seemed pretty upset that the whole thing was even, that it even got out and got any sort of news at all, and told him since he didn't find anything, stop looking. You don't need to look anymore, basically. And actually, when you toss words around like belligerent and was very upset, that doesn't sound like a normally functioning, well-oiled governmental response machine. So,
nope, sure doesn't.
It does sound like there was somebody dropped the ball in the process there at some point. And but again, this is only, like I mentioned, this NORAD event on January 12th was the fourth of nine fireballs that over 100 people in the area saw, including ex-pilots, ex-Air Force, ex-Naval Aviation, all trained observers who were able to give me exact descriptions of an object that changed its size, shape, velocity, color, everything about it, made a 90-degree turn, This is not
fireballs
consistent with a
bolide. Yeah, they don't make 90-degree turns.
No.
You know, it amazes me that all this activity is going on, and we see nothing about it in the major media, just, you know, in local publications and things.
Well, this is going to change. A couple of very, I don't know how to put it, popular, I guess would be the best word, popular network programs dealing with mysteries and other things you mentioned, the show Encounters, they're interested in coming here and investigating the valley a little bit more closely and possibly doing a show. Unsolved Mysteries has been making noises about coming here. Word is slowly starting to get out. The NORAD event, I think, really did jog a lot of people into, wanting to maybe come here and check things out for themselves and find out if there's any truth to all this. And I can tell you, having personally investigated and talked to dozens and dozens of people, that there is definitely something going on in the San Luis Valley. I've seen the things myself. So what's also interesting, which hasn't made the news, which occurred during the December and first part of January period when these fireballs were entering into the San Luis Valley in our airspace, we had what I consider to be the most thoroughly documented sightings of Bigfoot in our valley, which I've heard rumors of Bigfoot being seen. I've had a real hard time researching precise details of sightings in the past, but these sightings are very, very well documented. Some of them are multiply witnessed. We've got pristine videotape of two sets of tracks side by side, 22-inch and 18-inch, that go for hundreds of yards down a hillside in snow. It's very interesting to me that we should have an outbreak of Bigfoot sightings right during the time when these fireballs are being observed.
You got it all down there.
You name it, it's down here. There's no other place that I know of, no other single geographic region that has the variety and intensity of unexplained occurrences.
Our guest tonight is Chris O'Brien. He's a researcher and a reporter for the Crestone Eagle in Crestone, Colorado. He's talking about the mystery in the San Luis Valley. 1-800-836-2009 is our toll-free call-in line. That's 1-800-836-2009. Chris, move us on to the cattle mutilation investigation. Now, there has been, as I understand it, in excess of 20 reported cases in a very short period of time down there. Is that true?
Well, in the actual San Luis Valley region, we've had about 15 or 16. If you count portions of northern New Mexico just outside of the valley and portions of the Wet Mountain Valley and central Colorado, which are all very close to the valley, we've had 23. Ten of these I've investigated personally, with six of them being actual on-site investigations.
What was the time frame in this again?
Since November April of 92 would be the first case, and then it really started in earnest in November of 92.
Okay.
So in that time period, we've had quite a few.
Okay. Chris, we're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we'll pick up the discussion on the cattle mutilations. It's all very fascinating. Sit tight, everybody. We'll be right back. This is Michael Corbin, and you're tuned into the Paranet UFO Continuum, and we'll be right back after this break.
The Paranet UFO Continuum, in conjunction with MICAP, the Multinational Investigations Cooperative on Aerial Phenomena, is pleased to offer a portable kit containing everything you need when you come across something unusual in the sky. This kit comes in a sturdy metal box with a lock and contains binoculars, micro cassette recorder, FM walkie-talkies, water-filled compass, 16mm telephoto camera with 1600 speed film, sample bags, notebook, paper and pen, high-intensity flashlight, and official MICAP sighting report forms. The normal price of this complete kit is $289, but for a limited time, you can order it for only $250, plus $10 shipping and handling. To order, call Paranet at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-UFO-NET-1. And ask for the UT-1 kit. Paranet, your window on the universe, with products and services unparalleled in the world today. Again, call 1-800-UFO-NET-1.
October 14th, 1987. A small child has been lost in an abandoned well in Midland, Texas.
Baby Jessica, they've got something on.
Minutes become hours. The entire country waits and hopes and praise. No country comes to the aid of a child the way we do. Yet today, millions of children are being lost. Lost in an education system unable to prepare them for today's competitive world. But the real tragedy is that a lot of these children will never live up to their promise. The world is changing. America is changing. And more schools have to change to keep up. Imagine if the same effort that went into saving that child in Texas went into keeping the promise that every child in America gets the best education so that every child can have a future. Call 1-800-96-PROMISE for information on changing the schools in your community. A message from the Education Excellence Partnership and the Ad Council.
This is the Paranet UFO Continuum, a weekly program dedicated to the mysterious and fascinating world of UFOs. If you're interested in learning more about Paranet, the world's foremost communications network dealing with the UFO phenomena, call us at area 303-429-2654 or write to Box 172, Wheat Ridge, Colorado, 80034. Once again, here's your host, Michael Corbin.
My guest tonight is Chris O'Brien. Chris is the is a reporter in Crestone, Colorado, and he's also a researcher of UFOs and the paranormal. And we're hearing tonight about some of the strangest parts of the country. I mean, San Luis Valley, virtually nobody's knows about it, and yet we have UFO reports, cattle mutilations, secret military aircraft, cults, natural abnormalities, on and on and on. Chris, welcome back. Our call-in number is 1-800-836-2009. That's 1-800-836-2009. Now, Chris, we left off. We were talking about, you know, cattle mutilations. Can you tell us a little bit more about what's happened down there historically or, you know, in the past and, basically, you know, what's going on with it?
Well, I believe, based on my research and working with some of the top investigators and researchers into the unusual animal death phenomena, that the San Luis Valley could be the actual epicenter of this activity. I believe more of these unusual deaths have occurred in this particular geographic region than anywhere in the country. Not only more of them, but the intensity of them is really beyond belief. When you talk to a county sheriff who says that every single ranch in his county has had at least one, you know you're dealing with a major problem.
Mm-hmm.
What historically happened here back in the 70s, as elsewhere around the country, we had a wave of dozens of these, sometimes six and eight in a single night. During the beginning of the 80s, we saw a drastic reduction in the actual numbers of these unusual deaths, whether they be sheep, cows, horses, mostly cattle are the victims of this. But then it never really went away. The unusual deaths would be reported in a trickle. They never really ceased altogether. But then, as I mentioned earlier, in November of 82 is when we saw a major increase in these unusual animal deaths, to the tune of 23 in the past 2 years that at least have been reported and investigated by researchers. I believe the number could be anywhere from 3 to 4 times that number.
Describe for our listeners, when you say unusual deaths, what does this incorporate?
Well, again, the media kind of coined the term mutilation to describe something that they really couldn't explain back in the early 70s when this first started in other parts of the country. Again, the first wave of these deaths did occur here from 67 through 69. And what we're describing, I guess, would be the classic mutilation would be the easiest place to start is you're looking at an animal that was healthy, let's say the day before, and then it's discovered by the rancher missing its sexual reproductive organs. If it's a cow, missing its udder. Oftentimes a patch of hide will be missing from the left or right mandible, which is the jawbone.
Mm-hmm.
Often an eye or an ear will be expertly cut away in perfectly bloodless cuts that look like they were done with a scalpel or possibly even a laser. Oftentimes the animal's blood and body fluids have been totally drained, which is a very difficult task. We're looking at anywhere from 30 to 35 gallons of body fluids that we know have been literally drained from an animal in as little as 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Now, if you hang an animal upside down and cut its jugular, it's going to take hours for that thing to drain. I know this kind of gets gross describing, but it is
it's very
important.
Bizarre. It's just bizarre.
Yes, it is. And when you look at some of the cases that have been reported and documented, you have major organs missing from the animal with no cut into the body cavity. You have mandible bones that are bleached like they've been in the sun for 20 or 30 years, and yet the animal, you know, was alive the day before.
Could that be chemicals? Has anybody ever been able to do any kind of physical samples and that kind of thing in a laboratory?
Yes. Well, Dr. John Altshuler, who is considered the top pathologist in the unusual animal death realm, who operates out of Denver, has taken a mandible bone from a freshly killed cow and boiled it in a lye solution for a week to 10 days and has not been able to duplicate the scouring action that some of these animals' mandibles show. My guess, if I had to make a guess, it's almost like a particle beam device or something that would actually scour the bone in a very high-tech manner. I've seen these glistening bones, and they almost look polished. It's very difficult to describe looking at an animal that was alive sometimes just a few hours before with a bone exposed that looked like it'd been in the sun in the desert for 20 years. It's very, very bizarre, and it's happening all over the country. Since the fall, we've had reported cases, and people have investigated unusual animal deaths in Minnesota, Missouri, Wyoming, Montana,
of course,
Mexico,
Colorado. This phenomenon is not just restricted to the United States. It's been reported internationally as well.
Yes, there have been cases in Puerto Rico. There have been cases in Canada. Mm-hmm. I suspect there are many, many cases in South America where the world's largest cattle herds are.
Mm-hmm.
There's been very little research done to confirm that. Australia has had some. In fact, the very first science fiction movie ever made, which I believe was made in Australia in 1910, was about a whole herd of sheep that were discovered mutilated in Australia. And this is the subject matter for the world's very first science fiction movie. So these kinds of cases have been reported all through history. It's just recently, in the past 30 years, that they've gained international exposure, and people have actually actively tried to figure out what is going on.
1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. Give us a call. Our guest tonight is Chris O'Brien down in Crestone, Colorado, in the San Luis Valley. Chris, the $64,000 question is, what do you think is going on? What do you think is causing this, or what do you think is behind it?
Well, I believe you have, it's a very, very complicated, multi-leveled scenario with multiple groups involved.
Okay, groups by meaning human groups, human
yeah,
beings?
Well, I think a vast majority of these unusual animal deaths, if they're not something that could be explained naturally, like predator action, scavenger action, even lightning can create some pretty strange-looking carcasses on a field. Taking those cases and throwing them out, you're still left with a fairly sizable number I believe that the initial outbreak, or as I call it, the real thing or the core of this phenomenon, is something otherworldly that is being done by non-humans. I believe this is a very small percentage of these remaining cases, however. I believe since about 72 or 73, some form of quasi-government, maybe, faction of government, or maybe actually the main body of the government has been involved in the mutilation of and the killing of animals, deer, elk, rabbits, cats, dogs, goats, sheep.
For what purpose, cows.
Well, the jury's out on that. You've heard all kinds of possible scenarios and explanations, from biological warfare testing to monitoring pollution levels downwind of nuclear sites and uranium mining areas to, the list goes on and on what the human agendas could be. And in terms of what the otherworldly or non-human agenda could be, some people believe that there's some sort of hybridization process going on, utilizing cattle hemoglobin and other genetic parts that I described as usually ending up missing from these animals. Nobody really knows for sure, but one thing is for certain. Out of the 12,000 documented cases that have occurred in this country alone in the last 27 years, not one person has ever been brought up on charges.
Yeah, that's what's really incredible about it. Our guest tonight is Chris O'Brien. He is a reporter in Crestone, Colorado, and he's talking about the mystery in the San Luis Valley. We're going to go to a break. Sit tight. We'll be right back. I'm Michael Corbin, and this is the Paranet UFO Continuum.
Paranet Information Services is your electronic window on the world of UFOs, accessible by computer and modem. Paranet keeps you up to date on the world pulse of ufology, with sighting reports, interesting findings, and general discussion on the mysterious UFO enigma. Paranet features one of the most comprehensive text file libraries in the world on the paranormal, available for a small online fee. So plug into power and knowledge through Paranet. The BBS number is available 24 hours a day. Call the data line at area 303-429-2713. That's 303-429-2713. Or for more information, contact Paranet Information Services at area 303-429-2654. That's 303-429-2654.
Pilots, when you fly, you need convenient, accurate information for safe flight and landing operations, as well as local businesses that can provide you with the services and treatment you deserve. The Skyway Publications Airport Directory and Entertainment Guides are what you need. These free pocket-sized guides give you information you need about large and small airports all over the country. Information like radio channels, runway systems, coordinates, and taxiways, as well as fuel and aircraft services provided at the airport, along with local businesses catering to private pilots. It's yours free. Ask the fixed base operator at your favorite stops to carry the Skyway Airport Directory and Entertainment Guides, or call area 303-669-1800. That's 303-669-1800. Skyway Publications, your ticket to safer, cheaper, and more convenient flight. Again, talk to the FBO at your favorite destinations or call Skyway Publications at 303-669-1800.
Thank you.
You're listening to one of the most unusual programs you'll ever hear. It's the Paranet UFO Continuum, and it deals with one of the most fascinating subjects around. Once again, here's your host, the Director of Paranet Information Services, Michael Corbin.
1-800-836-2009 is our toll-free call line. 1-800-836-2009. Our guest tonight is Chris O'Brien. Chris is an investigator and a reporter in Crestone, Colorado, down in the San Luis Valley, southern part of our state. And, Chris, what is significant about the ranches down there? I know that there was mention of the Baca Ranch, and there's also, what, the Taylor Ranch and the Forbes Ranch.
Right.
What is significant about that, and how does this play into that mystery?
Well, you're looking at what I find is curiously enough, are the only three ranches in the country that privately own 14,000-foot mountains.
Uh-huh.
That's one thing that ties them all together. Also, beryllium and gold tie the areas together. And, of course, they're all privately owned.
Uh-huh.
The Baca Ranch is 100,000 acres. I'm not even sure how big the Forbes Ranch is. It's immense. The Taylor Ranch is 77,000 acres.
And as I understand, the Taylor Ranch was the site of numerous cattle mutilations in the 70s, right?
Dozens and dozens of them. In fact, some of my recent cases are the next ranch down the canyon from the Taylor Ranch, within eyesight of it, within several hundred yards of the Taylor Ranch.
Now, as I understand it, too, you've had a witness that has actually seen someone in a helicopter involved in the actual mutilation?
Actually, there's several witnesses.
Okay.
That have seen three different instances of helicopters landed or flying with cows underneath or being witnessed rising out of a field where a cow was found. This has happened in Alabama and other areas as well, but
mm-hmm.
the cases in the San Luis Valley from 77 are very interesting because the witnesses were able to get real close to the helicopters and identify certain features on them and certain features of the actual operation that was taking place before they were then chased away by the helicopters. These are some of the only cases on records where helicopters associated with these unusual animal deaths have actually been hostile towards potential witnesses,
mm-hmm.
in other words, chasing them for miles and almost doing mock runs to try to divert them and make them crash off the road. I mean, some pretty interesting screenplay, Hollywood feature type stuff.
Really interesting. We're going to have to wrap it up, Chris. Before we go off the air, tell our listeners how they can get a hold of you if they're interested. I understand you are conducting tours down there.
Yes, I've had, it's amazing, Michael, all the people that have found out about the San Luis Valley and what I've been trying to do here with my research and investigation, they've been calling me from all over the country, and if anyone's interested in taking a 2 or 3 day trip around in the San Luis Valley and finding out just hours and hours of information about this fascinating place, they can write me at P.O. Box 223 in Crestone, Colorado, which is Crestone, Colorado 81131.
Okay.
And I'd be happy to send you a bunch of information about this place and talk to you about taking you around.
Okay, Chris, thank you very much for being our guest tonight.
Okay, Michael.
And we'll be in touch in the near future. And you take care down there, okay? Thank you for being on the show with us tonight. And for the rest of you, this is it for us tonight. And we will be back next week at 8 o'clock Mountain and 10 o'clock Eastern on the Paranet UFO Continuum. Keep...